You're listening to Trek FM.
This is Robert Picardo, the emergency medical hologram from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Rendell, and with me, as always, is Charlene Schmidt. I just want to thank everybody for coming in today, and make sure to pledge everything that you can towards our national pledge drive on To the Journey. And now we bring you over to the piano soloist styles of the South Brazilian rainforest.
Tristan.
Yes, yes, sure.
Why are you kissing your microphone? Would you stop that, please?
I'm sorry. I was trying to do my best NPR impression, and I guess it wasn't going well.
No, it was perfect NPR, but we sort of unfortunately did that last week inadvertently, because you were recording in your not studio, and unfortunately it came through very prominently in the podcast, and people were like, what the hell? Why does Tristan sound different?
It was so funny because I, while we were recording, yeah, I wasn't in my studio, and I was in a location where I kind of needed to keep it down, and it was funny because like I turned my gain all the way down on my mic, and then I put my mouth close to the pop filter, and I thought I was speaking at normal volume, but I clearly wasn't, and I actually played it back, and it sounded fine to me, but I was listening through laptop speakers.
Oh.
Once I started editing it, I remember texting you going, I sound really different.
Yes. And then you sent me an audio file and I'm like, dude, you sound like NPR.
I sound like NPR. And I was just like, eh, it's fine. It's just 1 week. You know, like nobody will notice. Well, boy, was that wrong, because I think at least 10 people either emailed me or found me on Twitter and said, dude, what's going on with your voice? One person actually said, is it just me or does the insane Robin sound like Rod Serling?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought that was really funny. So folks, that's what happened. It's as you can hear, I am back to normal. And I'm sorry for disrupting your lives.
We learned our lesson. It's okay. Yeah. We will not do it again. Oh, how funny. Well, that is not the topic of our show this week.
Aw.
What, you want to talk 45 minutes about NPR voice?
I do. I kind of want to test the different depths that we could do, because I actually, I worked for PBS. That was my first job out of college, was at PBS.
Oh, no kidding?
And I remember doing pledge drives and actually listening to the radio, and it was a lot like NPR, where it's just like,
hello, I'm filling in for Bert Sampson, and he was filling in for Will Johnson, and today we're going to be talking about the xylophone and its many different uses. You know, like, it's just crap like that.
And so I it's so sad, because I told myself if I ever got into radio, or i.e. podcasting, I would never want to sound like that, or not have any energy. And when you and I started this podcast, we said we are going to be more rock jock and less NPR.
Yeah, yeah. Although I do kind of want to hear your disc jockey voice now. Sort of like that cross between NPR and what we do, you know. Hey, it's 5 p.m. Rush Hour Renegades here, coming at you. Here's a traffic report.
Coming to do is Chopper Dave with the Weathers on the Nines.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Fun stuff.
98.7, Trek.fm. Yeah, okay. All right. We should probably do the show. We teased it last week, and we're doing an episode comparison, and we're starting with Voyager episode 315, Coda, and comparing that with Star Trek Next Generation 518, Cause and Effect. Now, one thing that I noticed about Coda is that it's actually kind of a blending of Cause and Effect and 524's The Next Phase.
Oh, yeah. Now that you mention that, that's very true. They, like, I would say Coda starts out with a similar plot line as Cause and Effect, where we're dealing with repeating time loops, and then it sort of becomes this different thing.
Yeah, and for those of you who do not remember, Coda is the episode where Chakotay and Janeway are in a shuttlecraft and they're talking about the talent show, and then all of a sudden they're attacked by Vidians and they die in every single scenario where, like, right. they crash land and then, you know, Janeway dies, or they get blown up in space, but then every single time they reset back in the shuttle bay, in the shuttlecraft cabin. And then it turns out that Janeway really died, and now she's a ghost roaming the ship. And her father, the ghost of her father, tries to convince her to come over to the other side. And she says, no, I'm a ghost now, and it's cool. I'm not going to abandon my crew. And she visits her own funeral. She sees speeches done by Torres and Harry. And then as she's going through this, she tries to see if Kes can reach out to her using her telepathic abilities. And none of that works. And then Janeway's dad, quote unquote, gets more and more impatient and tries to convince her to come over. And then she realizes that something's wrong. And then all of a sudden she has a flash of her looking up at Chakotay and the doctor on the planet. And she realizes that she's not dead. She's just unconscious. And this is a bad guy. This is a bad alien trying to steal her soul and take it into his realm. But she can only go. Yeah, he can only take her if she's willing. And then she wakes up, and then there's some uber Chakotay slash Janeway moments where he gives her a rose, and then they go sailing on Lake George. And that's
Coda. There's nothing platonic about that at all, really. If you ask then, me.
And then in Next Generation, with Cause and Effect, this kind of takes that first segment of Voyager and expands it through the entire episode. And, well, obviously, you know, Cause and Effect came first, but it's the people remember Cause and Effect as the homage to Groundhog's Day.
I was just going to say that these episodes are both kind of a weird, twisted Star Trek version of Groundhog Day. So I'm glad you said that.
And I feel like in the 90s, if you had a television show, you had to have a Groundhog Day episode.
Everybody
you had to have
did
that
it.
Homage.
Yeah.
My favorite was Xeno the Warrior Princess. Did you ever see that episode?
I never did. No. And now I really need to.
Like, she was getting so frustrated because she kept repeating the same day over and over again. She was getting so frustrated that at one time she takes her, like, she, like, Joxer, who's this annoying character, wakes her up and she just, like, leans forward, takes her chakram, throws it, and it goes right into his chest and he dies. And Gabrielle's like, oh my God, you killed Joxer! And then Xena just falls back asleep, and then the day resets. And she
wow, that is
on.
The ultimate definition of DGAF.
It was awesome. Well, let's go back to the Enterprise in Cause and Effect, and we start with the destruction of the Enterprise, which, you know, is kind of a heart stopper.
Well, you know, it's really hard to top a teaser like that. You can't do a whole lot better than blowing up the Enterprise. As far as gathering attention and, oh, holy crap, what is happening here? So points to Cause and Effect for doing that a little more strongly than Coda, since we are comparing. That compared to this almost, you could definitely play pervert that line with this conversation Janeway is having with Neelix of, oh, Talent Night was so much fun. You know, it's been years, but boy, you know, I pulled it off and it's kind of awful.
Yeah,
to be
this
honest.
This one definitely is a much better attention grabber because, you know, if you weren't paying attention, you definitely are now.
Yeah.
And so what happens is that it the ship explodes. We have the opening credits and then we go to Data, Riker, Worf and Crusher all playing poker. And it's a lot of fun. It's a normal poker day. It's a normal poker game. And then we go to sick bay where Geordi is talking about he's feeling dizzy. It's weird. And he's talking with Nurse Ogawa, and then he calls Crusher to come in, and she swears that she has already done this test on him. And he says, I don't think so. And then the next morning, the senior staff is together, and they talk about how difficult it's going to be to explore the Typhon expanse. And then, Worf comes in and says, there's a rip, a distortion in the space-time continuum because science. And then this Miranda-class starship comes out of nowhere. And Data's like, Picard's like, okay, suggestions, what could we do? And Riker says, let's decompress the shuttle bay. And Data's like, no, screw that, you're stupid, Riker. And says, what we should do is use the tractor beam. And Picard, you know, said, let's use the tractor beam, because he always listens to Data, poor Riker. And they use the tractor beam, but it doesn't work, and he hits the nacelle, and then the Enterprise blows up again. Then we go on to Act 2, and the whole thing is repeated over.
One thing I didn't understand about this episode is they see the Miranda-class ship, and they say later on, those things haven't been in service for 80 years. Wouldn't that be their first tip-off that something is drastically wrong here?
Well,
and I guess they have to react in the moment, and they can't really investigate this, but there's absolutely no reaction to that.
Yeah, but you have 36 seconds to deal with that information. I don't think people are going to have a history lesson within that 36 seconds.
I'm not talking about a lecture. I'm just talking about a look. Like, what? What's that doing here? And then, oh, shit, it's going to blow us up.
I forgive it because, you know, like it's 36 seconds. And so they're like, okay, we're going to die. So let's figure out how to save ourselves. But we move on to Act 2, and I'm not going to give that kind of detailed description for every single thing. But what happens is they repeat every single moment that I talked about in there, except I forgot to mention that Crusher was hearing voices, and then they it turns out that those voices were echoes of the past. And what happens is that they learn something new each time. Like every single time they die and come back, they're like, oh, I have medium deja vu right now. And then in the next one, it's like, I have extreme deja vu right now.
Right. Yeah.
The whole thing happens again and again and again. But the thing is, like, with this episode, they shoot it differently every single way to let you know, like, it's a new segment, new things are happening. And it happens so much that they finally go, okay, something's wrong. Something's weird. Let's program Data using science, and we can get him to send a message to the past. And it'll all be gravy. And we go through it again, and Data sends his message. We have no idea what he sends because he has a limited amount of time on what he can send, and he can only send like a few characters or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the last day happens, and the poker game is a little bit different because Data deals everything in threes. And then throughout the day, they realize that the number three is coming up an inordinate amount of time.
Yes. I think even Data says that out loud.
Yeah, he says it out loud. He's just like, yeah, this is weird. And then we finally get to that culmination, that final moment. And then the everything kind of slows down a little bit. Data looks at Riker, notices the three pips on his neck, and then overrides everybody and actually decompresses the shuttle bay. And then they survive. And then we find out that the ship at the end is run by Dr. Fraser Crane. And
right.
It is, he's like, oh, you know, we just left Starbase 3 weeks ago. And Picard's like, oh, no, it's totally been like almost a century. And
yeah, we have some things to talk about, buddy.
That is the end of the episode. And the entire time, like every single time I rewatch this episode, I'm just like, they needed to give a moment in the sun where Riker like just puts his hands in the air and goes, really, really, this should teach you guys to listen to me more often.
Totally, because the moral of this story is Riker's idea good.
Yes, Riker never wrong.
Yes. Also, I really wish they would have had the foresight to have named the ship, instead of the Bozeman, make it the USS Seattle. Because Fraser.
Yes. Nice.
Yeah, that's nice. A shout out to my husband who thought, oh, that's Dr. Fraser Crane. And why is he on the Bozeman? And that was his idea. It needed to be the Seattle.
So these two episodes, these are two very different episodes. Like sometimes when we're comparing two episodes, it's very obvious that the writers lifted it from the episode previously, and they basically just changed all
others.
The names. Yeah. Some are more recycled than others. These really just play on the theme of a time loop, and which is very common in science fiction.
It is. I mean, it's very much a science fiction plot. And they both start out this way, and the outcomes are very different.
Right. And the thing is that with this, let's just, right off the bat, let's just figure out, which one do you like better?
I would say, overall, Cause and Effect is a stronger episode. Now, my relationship or heart loves Coda for obvious reasons. It's just about the height of the Janeway and Chakotay fandom. So I love them both for very different reasons, but if we're trying to be objective about it, for me it's cause and effect because it is a better episode, stronger story, I would say a little more interesting in terms of playing off of that sci-fi concept of a time loop. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm kind of with you where I like Cause and Effect a lot. I think it's a good episode. But at the same time, I get kind of bored in the middle. Like when we're
when they're repeating?
Yeah, when we're in Act 3 and Act 4, I'm just kind of like, oh my God. Okay, yes, I know you changed the angle. You're now, you know, you're now panning left and right instead of zooming in. Like, I get it. Let's, you know, like, I think there needed to be more variation than what there was. And
oh,
even
really?
Though I enjoyed it, I was just kind of like, okay, this is stalling. And so when I go back to Coda, I'm like, okay, that's cool. This was a time loop. It was self-contained, but it was quick. You know, it wasn't the entire episode. And so I like the structure of Coda more, but I think you're right in saying that Cause and Effect is a stronger episode.
Hmm. See, I do not get bored with Cause and Effect. I feel like there is just enough variation to keep us from getting bored. Just enough to follow, okay, we know this is going to happen, but at the same time, little subtle things are going to move things forward, and they do.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the other thing, though, with Coda is this is essential Catherine Janeway backstory viewing. Because Jerry Taylor did write it, she's incorporating various aspects of Mosaic, as she did with... not a lot of season three, but several things in season three. Once she had the book released, she put a lot into it. That still does not win out in my book because it's kind of a strange thing where a lot of this stuff that happens after the time loop is in Janeway's head. You know, when she is the ghost, she sees or she envisions how she thinks her own funeral would go. And so that's kind of interesting.
Once you look at it that way, because it never really happened. But the thing is, I guess you can kind of see, you know, did Janeway dream it up, or did this alien use her memories to create a reality that would fool her?
And I'm convinced that it was her, but you can't discount the fact that this guy, this alien, is influencing her. So
yeah,
I've got to amend that just a little bit. I've always envisioned it. It's just her in her head and it's completely fabricated through her brain. But I kind of wonder now just how much maybe he is influencing her to make her really think that she's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Because let's be honest with ourselves is that if this was all in Janeway's head and she could control it, you know that Chakotay would be down on his hands and knees just wailing, screaming that they never got to have sex.
He privately did that in his quarters after the service. That's why he was really quiet the whole time. He was really holding back, trying to be strong for the crew because that's what she would want. That is what she would expect of him, but privately, he's falling apart.
And that's when the solitary tear runs down Janeway's face, is when she realizes that she never consummated her relationship with Chakotay.
And it was a really sad moment. And then that is why they went sailing on Lake George when they get that second chance. And they live happily ever after, right? Oh.
So, okay. Now, with Coda, we had a main antagonist. Like, at the beginning, it was just the time loop. But then we move on to an actual antagonist. It's the alien, you know.
Yes.
Like, first it's a situation, but then it turns into that, oh, it's the alien pulling the strings. In Cause and Effect, the antagonist was a force of nature.
Yeah, it's the temporal time loop, temporal incursion, I think they call it. Or whatever, that massive lapse in space-time. So it's a more abstract alien, or antagonist, I guess.
Do you feel like one was better than the other when it came to antagonists?
That is actually a really tough question. Because the so-called antagonist in Cause and Effect isn't trying to be an antagonist, it just is. So, again, that feeds more into the sci-fi concept of this just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas... an actual alien is a little more straightforward. Now, it does get Janeway questioning the afterlife a little bit, which is a potentially interesting exploration. You could consider that a strong point or a weak point, depending on how you feel it was executed. I personally am just sort of... about it. So there's my very ambivalent answer. I feel like they're both not weak, but just, I don't know. I don't really feel a pull one way or the other. How about you?
I have always loved the lack of antagonist by having force of nature. Like, I like it in movies, I like it in TV, I like it in novels where it's a man or a woman against the force of nature, or they're trying to survive. And once you, like, you know, like, you see this all the time, like with groups of people trying to survive, like in the Andes, by eating each other, or, you know, like when they're in the wilderness and they're going up against a bear or just the elements, you know, you can't fault the bear for doing what it does. And once you put that into a sci-fi context, the possibilities are limitless. They're endless. And this is one of those things where, I mean, that's why we see this all the time in Star Trek, where it's just like, oh, there's some sort of disturbance off the port bow. You know, it's because our imaginations can run wild with these opportunities. And that takes the place that, like, Star Trek takes the force of nature antagonist that has been written for centuries in our media and converts it into something fantastical. And so I really appreciate that. And Cause and Effect did this great, and Coda did it well, as did this pretty well, but then turned into a solitary antagonist. And so I think I'm gonna have to give Cause and Effect this one on that.
Okay, fair enough. I almost feel like actually making the antagonist a real being doesn't, I mean, it makes it a little more straightforward of a story.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe a little too basic even.
Well, I think with the way that they were attacking it, the way they were going forward, I think it was the right move, because if she just woke up, I think it would be too ambiguous for the viewers. I mean, I love stuff where you have to question it all the time, where you're just like, oh, wow, what just happened? I have no idea what that ending means. But with this, if she just woke up, people would be like, okay, so what happened? Like, was that really her dad? Was she really dead?
Was she with Q?
God, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I guess keeping it simple in that aspect just brings you to the obvious conclusion. Oh, this is an alien. No more questions asked.
Right.
Yeah, okay. All right. So one thing that we really ought to mention in a slightly more detail is the one thing that really works in Coda's favor for relationshippers is, of course, Janeway and Chakotay dynamic. Now, for the Picard and Crusher fans, there is one scene in Cause and Effect that definitely pales in comparison, but I want to mention it because it is there, and I know that Sue at Women at Warp is very happy about this, so that's for her. However, this is a very strong Janeway and Chakotay outing, and I mean, I remember when this thing aired, I just thought, okay, they really are going to go through with this thing. They've been hinting at it for almost a year now, and this is actually going to go forward. I guess the joke was on me, but it gave me a lot of freaking hope and a lot of fanfic ideas in 1997 when this thing aired.
Yeah, it's funny because every Star Trek Voyager fan knows about Lake George. Like, all you have to do is just say Lake George, and they're like, oh, yeah, that time that, you know, like, Janeway and Chakotay went sailing just as buddies. Yeah,
yeah, of course they did, with the bottle of champagne.
Yeah, after Chakotay gave her a rose.
A rose. Yeah, please. I wrote a fanfic about this some years back, about what happened afterward. And you just use your imagination about what happened.
Now, I want to talk about Picard and Crusher, though, because you brought it up.
Yeah.
And I, at least with Picard and Crusher, I mean, even though they killed us for 7 years with Will They or Won't They, at least we got a kiss in All Good Things.
Right? We got, well, and we had attached, but we got a kiss. And we found out they got married in an alternate future.
All of this was an alternate future. I think the kiss even was an alternate future, but at least we got to see it.
Yeah, damn it, we got that much at least. And so, at the very least, there's some sort of, well, actually, no, there wasn't any closure for Picard and Crusher, because then in the movies, there's Anij in Insurrection, and what the hell? I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah.
And so that's all messed up. And then there's really no profound conclusion until you get to the novel verse, where you do find out, spoiler alert, that Picard and Crusher do get together and they end up having a child.
I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. Well, spoilers.
I'm not going to get to it. What's the name of the kid?
Oh, I want to say they named him Renee, but don't quote me on that because I've not actually read those books. Shame on me. I know.
I was hoping for William.
Well, I don't know what the baby's full name is. Maybe it is Renee William Picard. I don't know.
I like it.
I'm sure there's listeners out there who know this. So give us an email, go to trek.fm/contact and let us know, or you can tweet us. I am O the Profanity and Tristan is the Insane Robin.
That is correct. Now, there's one thing that Gates McFadden does whenever she's trying to be flirty or coy or relaxed or cute. I mean, she does this one thing whenever she sits down, she'll put one leg up and then grab her knee. Or grab her shin.
I've noticed this. Yes.
It's absolutely adorable.
You like it?
And I do. I do. I absolutely love it because I think Crusher is a very underrated character. I think she's a victim in the same aspect that Chakotay was, where you have this great character, great personality, great actress, horrible storylines.
Yes, she did get some really awful ones. I'm thinking in particular Sub Rosa.
Yeah, that's the go-to example for the fans.
Yeah. Watch that one drunk. It's so much better.
But she does that thing, you know, in Cause and Effect, where she grabs her leg and she's sitting next to Picard. They're sitting super close. It's really late at night and they're having tea. And excuse me. And I love these moments. I love these little moments. And this is what makes Star Trek so cool, is because we get to see these glimpses into their personal lives. Now, a lot of people who aren't Star Trek fans, you know, they cry about Star Trek saying it's boring, where it's just filled with a bunch of people who have no life. And on the surface, it may look that way. But for us who have invested hours and hours and hours and days and weeks and years,
countless hours, we
understand what's really going on underneath the surface and who, you know, what the feelings are when something happens. We understand the importance of just a little gesture or a little touch or anything like that.
Right. I mean, they hold us by a little thread with these little moments. That's how intense they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So for the shippers out there, there's your Picard and Crusher moment of the week, which is a cute scene. I mean, I don't know. Picard is trying to, I guess, maybe alleviate some of her anxieties, and is treating her to milk with a little bit of nutmeg, which, again, we see in All Good Things. Crusher brings Picard milk with nutmeg.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cute continuity.
Yeah, I think so, too. Now, I kind of want to talk about the next phase just a little bit.
Yeah, you mentioned this.
The next phase is the episode where Geordi and Ro are believed to be dead after a transporter malfunction, but then they discover that they can move around the ship and that they're not actually dead. They're out of phase with whatever, and because of, like I've said before, because of science.
Yep, science does a lot of things.
They're running around and they can run through walls, but they're not falling through the decks. Yada yada. I understand. I get it. It's like Ghost Dad all over again. But then they get to visit their own funeral.
Yes.
And they get to see what people are saying about them. And when I saw Coda, I immediately thought about the next phase. I didn't even think about Cause and Effect. I just thought about the next phase.
Huh. And I didn't think about this at all, but you are so freaking right. It's basically splitting Cause and Effect and Next Phase in half, putting the two together, and then you get Coda.
Yeah.
It's like the weird love child of these two episodes.
And replace Romulans with dream aliens.
Soul eaters.
Now, what did you think about the next phase? Because I think I like this episode more than Cause and Effect.
I remember really, really liking it when it first aired. It was one of my favorites as a 10-year-old. I have not watched it in a good long time, though. So I need to rewatch this episode and revisit it, bring back some of those old feelings and see what I think of it now. I don't think it's a bad episode of what I remember of it. I don't know if I I don't know if I rank it any higher or lower than Cause and Effect. I just think it's another cool sci-fi story, and TNG did these really well.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, it was another transporter malfunction, and I know some people are just like, oh my god, the transporter went wrong. Like, it's yeah. like some hardcore old Star Trek fans are like, the only reason why Gene put in a transporter is because they wanted to save money on using shuttles. And I was like, yes, we all know that. We have all heard
yeah,
that.
Shut it.
But yet, I don't care because I love transporter malfunctions. I do. I love them almost as much as I love holodeck malfunctions. I don't even give a crap if they're all the time.
Well, you're going to have to own up to the hate mail on that one, my friend.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll get hate mail again, but that's cool. It's whatever. What did I tell you years ago? What's my mantra about that?
Isn't it where if you're not pissing somebody off or making somebody unhappy, you're not doing your job?
That's exactly right.
That's right. That's a good thing to live by, and that's something I live by too, because you're not ever going to make everybody happy. It just doesn't happen. So why even try? People either like you or they don't.
And if people aren't telling you that they hate your stuff, then that means that they don't care enough to let you know. And that means
it means you're not trying hard enough.
It means you're not trying hard enough because, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. As far as the whole we're not really dead thing, do you think Coda did it better or did you think Next Phase did it a little better?
Well, I think in the Next Phase, they, if I remember correctly, they realized pretty quickly that they weren't dead.
Uh-huh.
It did take some time. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It did take some time. But I feel like, you know, like in Coda, you know, Janeway took the entire episode to figure it out. And
well, a good half of it anyway.
And in the Next Phase, they did it a little bit earlier. And so that was fun. I think that was the fun thing about Next Phase is when they realize that they're not dead, then that's when they can run around and try to do stuff. And that was the most exciting thing about the episode for me, was them trying to get back. And with
Coda, I agree.
Janeway trying to get back was really just sitting next to Kes going, hear me, Kes, hear me. You know, like, it's not that interesting.
Well, it's true. We get that scene where Kes goes through Janeway and, hey, can you sense me? And then, of course, eventually they give up because, okay, maybe I just want to believe that she's really here. The more interesting thing, I think, when Janeway fights back, when she finally does realize what's going on, that's more interesting in that respect. But I do agree it is funner to watch Geordi and Ro figure things out and have a little bit of a romp on the Enterprise and try to figure out how to get back into their reality.
Yeah, I think that was fun too.
Also, to Janeway's credit, she has the wonderful corny line of, go back to hell, coward.
I was just about to say that. Go back to hell, coward.
I love and hate that line so much.
So
like, weird. I can't believe she said it, and yet I love the way she says it.
I'm sure somebody has done this, but I want somebody to take all of her best lines and put it in a YouTube clip so we can just hear that voice over and over again. I'm Captain Catherine Janeway of the USS Starship Voyager. That's a little bit kind of like Truman Capote and Katharine Hepburn mixed together.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
With the first season voice where she's really in kind of a different voice range than she does later on. It, like, her voice goes a little deeper as she settles in.
There's a definite change, yeah.
Yeah, I think a part of that came out of the producers wanting to just work on every little nuance of what they wanted this female captain to be, and it was just so weird. And then when they just let go and let Mulgrew do her thing, things were so much better. Ugh. I wish they would have done it from day one, but, you know, that's not what went down. So this is what we have.
C'est la vie.
So any other comparisons that we want to make between Coda, Cause and Effect, Next Phase? I mean, I think we've kind of compared it or have we forgotten anything?
You know, I don't think so. I think we've covered it all. Since we put in a third episode into the mix, let's rank it. Let's rank it. So like, I'll rank these three episodes in your level of enjoyment.
This is so tough because biased nostalgic value really ranks Coda high for me. That's where I'm at with this. And so I'm going to do a very unfair thing here. And I'm going to say that Cause and Effect is the strongest episode. And I'm going to say Coda is number two because I love watching it for the Janeway and Chakotay moments mostly. And then next phase, because I need to rewatch it, and there might be some things there that maybe I will change my ranking of in the future because it's that good of an episode and I've just forgotten. How about you?
With me, it's not going to look like your list at all. I'm going to put the next phase as number one because I just think there's so much enjoyment in it. I love it. There's this moment where Ro literally shoots Riker in the face with a Romulan disruptor.
Oh, that's right. That's fun.
It's just hysterical. There's just so many moments like that that I really enjoy. And I don't even really like the Ro character. And I liked her in this episode. And then I'd go Cause and Effect because it's a strong episode. It's a solid sci-fi story. And then I'd go with Coda. Not because I dislike Coda, but just because there were moments that were stronger than others. But, you know, we had those relationship or moments. And so, yeah, I enjoyed the episode.
All right. Fair enough. Well, I think it's fairly safe to say that TNG wins this round of episode comparison. Comparing episodes of Voyager and TNG is not the only thing that we're talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a glimpse at what else is going on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
And I'm saying this in a really good and loving way. Sometimes some things can't be unseen, but there is nothing cooler than Disco Bones. I mean, I know we're supposed to be in the 23rd century somewhere, but that was squarely 1970-something.
Oh, yeah, sure. It was perfect.
To the journey! I think the only thing that we need to propagate in this new Star Trek show, and I feel like what Voyager propagated as well, is work together, become a family, love each other like family, and you'll be able to overcome any kind of obstacle.
And that is exactly what Voyager did.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
Every single one of these movies has been good. So the idea that the first time that he's going to make a bad movie, like the one where he's going to drop the ball, is a Star Trek movie written by Simon Pegg, that does not compute.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all of our shows. We have new Trek Talk coming to you every single day of the week. It's usually more than one show now, and they are all possible thanks to those kind folks who help us out on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/trekfm and help us keep the Trek Talk coming to you every single week. We couldn't do it without the support of our patrons. This is a listener-supported network, so thank you everybody who supports us. And on TTJ, we want to especially thank our associate producers, Kenneth Tripp, Jamie Deuce, Bruce Lish, and Dante Hopkins. So thanks, guys, for your support of TTJ. If, for whatever reason, you cannot support us on Patreon, there is another way that you can help us out, and that's by writing us a review on iTunes. It only takes a few minutes of your time, but giving us a rating and leaving us a review helps us a great deal in terms of the rankings and helping other people find the podcast on iTunes. And we have some 5 stars to report. So these awesome people are Radwegs Fur, Skeptic Bear, and H.M. Pizzle. Faux Shizzle. I like it. And these were all 5-star reviews, and thank you very much, guys. For Radwegs Fur, the only problem they report is that Thursday doesn't come often enough for them. Really sorry about that. I don't think there's anything we can do, but we will keep it coming to you at least that often.
We'll look into that for you, though. We'll try to see if there's anything we can do about that Thursday issue.
We'll try. We can't promise anything, though. So, if you have not left us a review, please do so. It helps us out greatly, and we will give you a shout-out on the show, just like we did for these awesome people. Now, with all those orders of business taken care of for this episode, we get to move on to next week, and what are we doing?
What are we doing? It's a surprise, Char. I'm not even telling you. I'm not telling the listeners, and so you'll have to tune in next week to find out. So, until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!